Set up for translations at all?
Yes.
Yeah. Over there, they're okay?
Finnish here. Is there Russian also? Yeah. Okay, over there it's Russian and Finnish over there.
And English this side. Which may need some translations. Okay, so basically we're looking at that we have three major, you could say, aspects of reality. You have the physical, you have the metaphysical, and then you have the spiritual. So the physical, that's obvious, that's the grossest form that we are able to perceive with the senses. The metaphysical then is the subtle aspects, and then the spiritual is what's beyond that actually you cannot perceive with the senses. So, in these reality, then we're dealing with that if you want a result on the physical platform, then a physical endeavor has to be made. On the metaphysical platform, something is endeavor is made on that platform, you'll get the metaphysical, but because the metaphysical is what controls the physical, you'll also get a result on that level. Right? So in other words, the metaphysical includes the physical results. Right? Then, on the spiritual platform, an endeavor made there gains the benefits of the spiritual platform, but it also includes the results that you'll get from the metaphysical and the physical. Yeah. So that's an important aspect, because much of the time we take that all these different things are completely separate. So therefore, if you want a result in one, you'd have to do three separate endeavors to get the three results. But in actuality, if you perform an activity on the spiritual platform, then you get the results of all three. So what does this mean? Physical platform we're doing, so we're getting, that will increase, creating a reaction on the physical platform, generally we're trying to get a good reaction on the physical platform. Right? Nobody generally does something with an idea that it will give a bad result, and therefore then their experience and all that will be bad. Right? So we're trying to create nicer material facilities. Right? From the metaphysical understanding, then we're seeing the difference between the gross aspects of material energy and the subtler aspects of material energy, in which we're trying to remove ourselves from the difficulties that comes up from the gross form, right? Because the gross form then will always give pain and pleasure, right? It means as soon as you have a material desire, that endeavor for happiness will simultaneously produce the result in unhappiness. Does that make sense? Because they go together. If we're dealing with material happiness means the removal of pain. Does that make sense? Like, if I'm happy eating, I'll be happy eating to the proportion that I'm actually experiencing the pain of hunger. If I'm not hungry, when I eat, there's no satisfaction in eating. Right? If I'm not tired or the pain of being sleepy, I don't feel the sleep is something good. Does that make sense? If I'm not hot and that's a disturbance, what's the benefit of going into a room that's cool, or the opposite? If I'm cold, to that degree I'm cold, when I go into a warm place, I appreciate the warmth. You understand? So material happiness by definition means removal of a pain. So that means when you have desire for material happiness, the same moment that material pain that goes along with it is also born. Right? So this idea that we can be happy without disturbance doesn't exist, because the very definition of material happiness is the removal of pain. Does that make sense? So that's why we see in the broader definition we're including this metaphysical, though it's beyond, because you're dealing with the primordial elements of the material world. Right? Let's say we have a tree, we have the physical tree, and we have the effect that it can give, the experience that we can gain from it. Right? But there is the principle of what is a tree. Right? Now we go into words. I don't know if you have translations. Right? Finish? Did we work out? Is there tree-ness and tree-hood? You have words? Because in Polish and Hungarian and in, you know, Croatian and Slovenian, they don't have words.
Somewhat.
Somewhat. Kind of.
Kind of, yes.
Okay. In Russian you have?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, okay. So in other words, there's the particular tree-ness, means the nature of a tree, means the primordial quality of a tree. Right? That's what we're talking about, is tree-ness, right? So that is then what all trees are based on. Because we call them a tree because they all match this primordial nature of trees. So that's the tree-ness that we're talking about. Right? Because otherwise then it will be something else. It'll be bush-ness or something else. I remember when we went to Sweden once, and we were driving, and then we left the city, right, Stockholm, and you get out to where you just see trees, and you say, oh, so this is the forest. And the Swedish devotee said, no, this is just bush. Like that. You know, and then there's some more houses, and a clearing, then a little bit more, and such. You know, and then we come to a little bit deeper. So, okay, so this is forest. And it says, no, no, this is just, you know, this is like a grove or something. Until finally you get out there in the middle of nowhere where there's nobody. And then if you look, all you can see to the horizon is trees. And he says, this is forest. Okay. So that then, all those things are trees. That's what is there. But what he was talking about is then the tree-hood. In the environment in which you can appreciate the tree-ness. Right? In other words, the tree, the nature of the tree, then you can appreciate it when it's in this full manifestation of just trees. Not that the trees were any bigger. You know, we thought, okay, that's not a tree, and then you get bigger tree and bigger. You know, it'd be like in California. You say, is that a tree? No, until you get to the sequoia, you know, they're like 200 feet tall or something. I don't know what that would be in meterage, but it would be
70 meters,
yeah. And over there, that's a tree, you know. Because they're 5,000 years old, so those are Dwapara Yuga trees. Right? They're not Kali Yuga trees. So you have the tree-ness, the tree-hood. So the nature of something, that's the primordial, that's the metaphysical aspect. Then you see the environment in which it's manifest, which is also a primordial thing, but that's where we can appreciate the tree-ness. Right? So the environment of the tree, then we can appreciate that original element of the tree. Does this make sense? So then that's the metaphysical platform that we're talking about. That's what's going on. It means we don't think about it, we just think about the physical. But the reason that a tree is a tree is because there's the primordial tree, and therefore from that, then all trees match that. Oh, there'll be the variety, there'll be the individuality. Like if you look at trees, there's a line of the same tree, you can identify it's the same tree, it has the same nature, but if you look at it individually, each one is different. How the branches are going out, where the trunk, you know, the trunk, the nature, that it's all different. Does that make sense? So yes. So then that manifests the physical, because that's coming from the metaphysical. That's what we're meaning. You have the metaphysical, then that includes already what is there in the physical. Now, the origin, that the spiritual, and that something is being done for the purpose of spiritual understanding, and that relationship with the Supreme. In other words, all the physical and metaphysical are actually based on the Supreme. It's the energies of the Supreme that are pervading everything. And that is where the source of the metaphysical is, that then all the physical is based on. So that potency, that's coming from the Supreme. Right? So that aspect means if you're endeavoring on that platform, you can get the benefit of the other two. Right? So how does that work? Okay, so let us say we want to do something, okay? Let us say, you know, just as a random example, right? We'll take cooking some potatoes. You know, not that necessarily anybody will be able to relate to this example, but, you know, we'll give it a try. Okay, so now the cooking of the potatoes. That's the physical platform. You know, and that'll have the particular experiences that goes with it and everything like that, the technique that's used, everything, right? Now, that there is potatoes, or in other words, the potato-ness, right, as we said, and that there's cooking, and that there's the nature of cooking, the cooking-ness. That's the metaphysical platform on which the cooking is going on. Because if you have a potato, you have to cook it like a potato, right? You can't cook it like, let's say, it's some spinach or something, right? It's different. It has its own nature. But so that's the metaphysical, and then the cooking, how you apply the laws of that metaphysical position of the potato from the metaphysical position of what is cooking. Right? In other words, how, you know, the nature of steaming, the nature of frying, the nature of baking, that, you understand? Then a good cook understands that metaphysical aspect, though they may not relate it that way. They just think that, oh, you can do these different things. But the nature of what cooking is, that's actually metaphysical. That's why any cook in any part of the world, they're all using the same metaphysical science. But they don't necessarily attribute it like that. They'll say, oh, I'm doing French cooking, someone else is, I'm doing Chinese cooking, or Orient, I'm doing Thai cooking, I'm doing Indian cooking. You know, and of course you're going to have here Finnish cooking, we don't throw into this English cooking, because I'm not sure you can count that as cooking. But whatever it is, like that. You know, unless it's crumpets and scones and what goes with it, that's cooking. But everything else, then that's another thing. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So, then, so by understanding the metaphysical and functioning on that platform, it being applied through the physical platform, you get your potatoes, right? And the effect of the metaphysical is also there, that the science of cooking has been applied and it has been gained. Does that make sense? Now the spiritual comes in. Okay, what's the spiritual? Now it's a matter of all this is coming from the Supreme, the nature of everything, the things themselves, the ability to do this cooking, all these things that come from the Supreme. So appreciating that, then what we cook, we offer back to the Supreme. Right? Then you get that spiritual effect. Right? Does that make sense? And so, yes. And so that includes the metaphysical and the physical. It means at the end of the day, you have the potatoes. Even if you've offered it, they're still there. Does that make sense? So by the spiritual activities, the other two are taken care of. Because sometimes it's thought, oh, it's spiritual, it's just sentiment. No, it's based on, it has the science, and it's from that science comes the metaphysical science. And then from that science comes the physical science. So if you understand actually what's going on, then by the performance of one, all three are there. Does this make sense? So this is important to understand, because otherwise it's thought, okay, I have my spiritual life and then I have the material life. But as we pointed out, is anything that we have within in the context of material life, if it's, you know, anything physical, you know, working, making money, maintaining interactions with people, anything like this, then the point is it's all based on the original metaphysical principles. Otherwise, why does everybody try to get a house? Because of the metaphysical principle of how the house then can give that protection, give that security. That's why everybody endeavors to make a house, even the animals. Right? It's just, that's the original. That's why we're bringing out the metaphysical, because that's what everything works on. But where does that come from? It's the supreme potency that pervades everything, that gives it that sense of security. Otherwise, the dead matter itself isn't that secure. Right? Does that make sense? It's because the potency is there, then you feel that. Then every individual is going to have their particular nature that you can relate to a particular kind of house or a particular kind of cooking. Does that make sense? But it's still based on the original primordial laws. There isn't something else. It's not that, oh, it's just because I feel like it, it works. No, it works because it's in line with the metaphysical laws. If it's not in line with the metaphysical laws, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how hard you try, it won't work. Right? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that. And so we know of the effects of these laws as the laws of nature. But that's in the physical world that we see. But that means that those laws have to have the inherent law itself that is not the physical. We see the symptom and the effect. Does that make sense? You know, just like, okay, we want to keep, let's say, to give an example, the government wants to keep discipline on the roads. Therefore, it's decided to keep that discipline, everybody will travel on one side of the road, right? And then the other people going the other direction will travel on the other side. Because if you don't have like that, then you end up like what happens in India, right? Nothing works, right? So you have like that, you have these rules. Then you have the actual manifestation of it, that the cars are there, and then, you know, the authorities are seeing that it's going on, you're not following it, then they follow you, and then you end up with a little piece of paper that says that, you know, a certain amount of your hard-earned money will be turned over to the municipality. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, there's a reason behind something. Then it comes down into the general law itself, then there's the application of it. Right? So in other words, there is the original point with the supreme being a person, having that feature, then there's going to be a reason behind it. Then you're going to have the law itself in the metaphysical, and then you're going to have its application into the physical. So this we also know within the Supreme as the platform of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the personal. Paramatma means the aspect of being God, or the controller, the lawmaker, the judge, the witness, right? So that the laws are there. Then you have then the physical, which is the Brahman, how everything is functioning. This makes sense? Right? Because the Lord pervades everything, that's why it can function. Right? So His pervading of everything is the grossest form of the Lord that we're dealing with. Right? But in actuality, then like let's say sound, that's the supreme, right? Then you have the music itself. That's the gross form that we see. But the sound itself, why it's attractive, why we're interested, that's because of the supreme's pervading it. Right? Because if you do music and it makes no sound, then it won't be greatly appreciated. I'm sure you can pull it off, you know, at some little out-of-the-way place with, you know, some very esoteric individuals where they will come. And you know, all the musicians will be there, they'll get their instruments ready, and everybody's, you know, and they don't do anything, just the anticipation. The people go through, and the feelings that will come up, and this and that, and then they'll just go off in their head. And after doing that for a while, they'll all go, wow, that was great, they'll all clap, and everything like that. But it'll be a very small group of people who can appreciate it, you know. Does that make sense? You know, the same group that can appreciate, I think it just sold for like something like $43 million or some are euros. This one painting is just kind of one color with a line through it. So that's the same group. It's very small. The general populace is not too much into that. But whatever it is, because that's the... Does this make sense? So all these things pervade everything, they make everything function. So then what we're trying to bring out here is that therefore anything that you're doing in your life, whatever it is, it has all these platforms. It doesn't not have these platforms. But we're unaware of them due to lack of knowledge, lack of training. So wherever we're focusing, let's say we have our job, but why does our job give us money? I mean, it's far out. You go sit down, you drive somewhere, sit down in an office, sitting there, you have a machine in front of you, you push some letter, you know, keys on there, it makes letters on or numbers on this little screen there. And doing that every day for a week, at the end of the week they give you money. Why is that? How did pushing the button, you sit at home, push the button on your computer, no one pays you anything. In fact, they ask you for money, right? You know, to use your computer, use their program, that they want money, right? But here you go, do the same thing and they pay you, you know? So how does that work? That's because of the original concept and the person of occupation. That comes down into the metaphysical, what are the occupations, how they work, why they work. Then you have the actual physical occupation itself. Does this make sense? So, therefore, why economics work, why your job gives money. You know, your job gives money or your business gives money, any of these things, why it gives profit. Is because of this principle that's coming from the Supreme. So now, many times it's asked, well, how can we be God conscious while we're doing ordinary activities? Okay, if I'm sitting in the temple, like we're doing here, we do some kirtan, we sing, we see the deities, we associate with devotees, we take prasad, okay, I can see how that's devotional service, and I can see the Lord in this. But then how do I see it in things once I walk out the door? But what we're discussing here is that everything outside the door, in fact even the door itself, is based on these eternal principles. Therefore, whatever is of value to you, that's where you can see the Supreme, that's where you can see the Lord. Like you walk out the door and you see the trees and that and nature is important to you, then you can appreciate the Supreme in that nature. If you don't notice the trees, there's something that drops leaves that you always have to pick up and that, and then you're waiting for the government to give you permission to cut down that tree in your place so it's less of a mess, then that you won't be noticing. But something else you'll notice. You'll notice the car, you'll notice the architecture, you'll notice what people are wearing, you'll notice what time it is. You understand? It's what you value is what you notice. Like children, they don't value time. They don't notice time. Adults do. So wherever you value, that's where you can see the Supreme. Because that potency is coming from the Supreme. It's not inherent in that thing. Right? That's just dead matter. That dead matter is empowered with potency of the Supreme. That's why it gives the effect and experience that we have from interacting with the physical platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that means that any time, any place, any circumstance, we can see all these three aspects of the Supreme. The pervading potencies, the laws functioning behind that, and the original person that is the source of all that. So now when we see all these things, engage these things according to their inherent natures, and then the results of that we're offering to the Supreme, that devotion, that will give you the spiritual benefit, and you get the actual benefits on these other platforms. So in that way, for someone who's in knowledge, they can be God conscious at any time, be getting the benefit of that God consciousness, at the same time they're able to maintain the position that they're taking within the physical environment. Does this make sense? In other words, because the physical environment maintains the physical platform. Does that make sense? We function on this, you could say, manifest material platform. It's because we have a body that's within that environment. So we want to maintain it. Does that make sense? We have a body, we want to maintain the body. Right? The body's within that physical environment, right? Physical, emotional, intellectual, all these things that are manifest. Does that make sense? We don't want to confuse here, because we're going physical, metaphysical, and spiritual to make it very clear. When we're saying physical, we mean what's manifest. The metaphysical means what's not manifest, the unmanifest. What's the principle behind why it works. Does that make sense? So in the physical, that will mean physical, sensual, emotional, intellectual, all these levels. So you're doing something, and you see the results. Right? Experience the results. In other words, what you can experience. The metaphysical is beyond that. Right? And spiritual is beyond that. So, whatever we're dealing in our life, then we can see that it has an effect. I function within the laws of what's there. I get the result. I'm able to appreciate that result. Right? Like we said, you go into the kitchen, use the physical environment of the kitchen, you cook the things that are there. You know, and there be so many considerations, okay, what you have, what you want to cook, who you're cooking for, you know, the moods that you have towards those people that you're cooking for, like that. You use your intelligence, what you can do with all this, and the effect will be that it'll produce something that can be appreciated with the senses, right? Looks nice, proper fragrance, proper textures, right? Proper flavors. That makes sense. Generally, you don't hear food so much, but if you are hearing, then you should tell the person to chew with their mouth closed. You know? That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah? No? Okay. I mean, you can, okay, if they're doing it, cooking there on the spot, sometimes they come to the table with their cooking things and you can hear it, you know, and that adds to it. But the whole point is the senses are being engaged. Right? But it's that combination of all those different things. The intellectual platform using the science, the emotional on why you're cooking it, what's the mood, and all those different things like that. And then the senses will be engaged, and all that's held together by, you can see that because that's in a body. So we're cooking for a body that within that's a subtle body that has all the emotions and all these feelings and nature and personality. And within that, there's a soul that's actually beyond all that. Does that make sense? Yeah, and then the soul, because of their identification with that, then they think, I am that grosser manifestation, but actually they're not. But that's what you function with. That's what you work with. Does that make sense? Just like a proper cook. They can cook with whatever they have. Right? If we're not so good at cooking, unless we have all the right ingredients, we can't do something. And the amount of time and everything's correct, then we can have that. We can cook and get the right effect. And if something's missing or there's not enough time, we can't cook. But then someone who's a good cook, they can make adjustments with all that because they know the science, the laws of cooking. So it says. So they know what they can do with something. Yes. So all this is, as we mentioned, is just to bring to the point that we can be God conscious at any time, any place, any circumstance, if we see the functioning of what we just discussed. How the Lord is pervading everything. Within that, what we value is what we're going to perceive. Anything outside of our values is not going to be perceived by us. Right? And that all the laws of the Supreme are applied to that, and so then we follow those laws in the areas of our values, and we can see the Lord in that. But beyond that, He's a person, so therefore we can be doing all that to please Him as a person, and that's devotional service. Yes? Yeah. Okay. Any questions on this? Yes.
Zeros are nothing without one front of them.
Yes, that's the point. So if you have the zero, because sometimes it's thought that if I have zeros and I'm not getting any satisfaction with zeros, I'll just add more zeros. So you have a whole lot of zeros. But unfortunately, by the nature of zeros, you just have zero. Right? Doesn't matter how many you have. It still is the same as 1-0, right? But, and we think that spiritual, okay, I'll have a 1, but I won't have any of the zeros. You understand? We think spiritual life means I'll have the 1, but no zeros. Material life, I have all the zeros, but unfortunately it doesn't add up to anything. But the point is that if you have the 1, in front of the zeros. In other words, the whole purpose, the connection of the zeros is to the one. Right? Then you end up with something significant. The more zeros you have, the bigger the number. Right? So all that material facility, knowledge, endeavor, results, all has a meaning when it's connected to the Supreme. And if it's not, then you end up with a bunch of zeros. Does that make sense? Something else. Yes.
How do you remember the metaphysical level when you are suffering from the physical level so that you get good samskara from something so you don't forget?
It means you're suffering from it, but who's suffering? Because if you look at it, the body actually doesn't really care. You know what I'm saying? If it can function better or not, but the body actually doesn't have any, it's not worried about it. Like if someone's dead, they stick them in a freezer. And it's not that as they're closing the door, then the hand comes out and goes, excuse me, it's cold in here. I don't like the cold, you know. Can I stay out on the porch and get some of the sun? Does it happen? No. That's the point. The body doesn't care. And the soul is transcendental, so it's actually not affected. So actually, who cares? Right? That's the point. But because the soul identifies with the body, therefore what the effects on the body, then identifying with that, then we feel the problem. So that's the whole thing, is this will solve that by you understand what's going on here, and therefore then you connect it to the Lord. Because only by taking shelter of the Lord does anything work. So if we're unhappy about something, the only way to become happy is to connect to the Lord. Because we see is that material happiness means getting rid of the pain. And so then, yes, with time that pain will go away, there'll be happiness, but the problem is to continue happiness, there has to be pain again. So it's not actually a great cycle. Right? That's why it's called samsara. It just keeps going around between nice and not nice. Right? But the transcendental platform, whether the actual situation is ideal or not, it doesn't matter because you can always see the Lord's potencies at work. So you're not attached to the results of things, so that makes it work. Does that make sense? Of course, if one can't contemplate it at the time, there's some distress and you can't contemplate it at the time, then when that distress goes away or at another point in time when you can think about it, you're not so emotionally affected by it, at that time then you contemplate it this way. And then you'll start to see, and then slowly, slowly you'll start to change the impressions that you have, right? And why you'll say this is good or not good.
Thank you, Spiritual Master, for the lecture. I'm going tomorrow. I have had this phase of life that I have changed countries to find work, and then I lost work, and then I'm back here again. Tomorrow I'm going to work interview. Can you please give me some advice?
Advice for a
to.
A work and
to
interview.
Stay calm in the work interview.
Advice for a work interview. Well, you somehow or another have to show them that you have the knowledge necessary to and the ability to do the work.
I think I have already done
right.
That because I got the invitation.
Yes, but you also have to show them that you have the right attitude. Because much of the time, it's the attitude that actually makes things. Because someone has the knowledge and the skill but the wrong attitude, then it'll be considered less ideal than if you have the right attitude, and even if your skill is less because you can be trained. Because even though, let's say, someone does 4 years or 3 years to get a degree so that they can do a particular job, anybody in the field knows in 2-3 weeks you could learn it anyway practically by doing it with people who are doing it. You don't need to 3 years. So 3 years just then identifies who's serious and who's not, right? Because otherwise, since anybody can learn it in 3 weeks, that means the whole city can turn up. So if you make the rule that no, only people with this degree can get the job, you already cut it down from so many million down to, you know, a much smaller number. And then within that number, you look for who has the right attitude. But, so they're going to do that because they have to work with you as a person. Right? So you have to be able to, you know, deal as a person that they can relate to. So you can see, have to see what are they looking for and see that that's what they see. Does that make sense? Yes.
Could you explain a bit more about the divine presence in the things that attract us?
The divine presence in the things that attract us. Because otherwise, why would dead matter attract us? Right? So it's the Lord's potencies that are pervading everything. Just like, let's take something, for instance, fashion. Okay? You have something that somehow that everybody finds attractive. But it's the same fabric, same weaves, same cuts. Just you kind of move it around a little bit. You know, instead of it being like this, you put it like that, or you put it like this, or turn it over like that. Ooh, you know, that's what's going on. Right? And everybody's into it. And then at one point, everyone loses interest in it. Right? And then 20 years later, then, ooh, here it is again. You know what I'm saying? Like I just saw the other, I think it just started within the last some months, a little bit you see here and there, very rare, bell bottoms. You know bell bottoms, they're pants that the bottom gets wider when it goes down? Yeah. So that was really big back in the 60s. Sailors have always worn them because it's practical for pulling on and off your boots and stuff like that. But as a fashion thing, then they were really big. Everyone wore it. They were really, really for a long time there. And then they just disappeared and no one's, you know, going near them. it's starting to come back again. You know what I'm saying? So what is that? That's the modes of nature. That's Krishna's potency in it. Otherwise, then why is... You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that... Yeah. Is that whatever is there is just the same thing going around and around in a circle. You know what I'm saying? So it's chewing the chew. Whatever anybody's into, then it goes out of fashion, and then it comes back in fashion. So why would that be? Because of Krishna's potency. Does that make sense? So what you'll notice in the world is only what you value. Right? But the unlimited things in the world, you don't, the only things you're supposed to need to see in connection with Krishna are the things you value. Because you can't see everything. Because you won't notice everything. You know what I'm saying? When you walk down the street, what you notice will be in the context of your values. Someone else can walk down the same street and see something totally different. Like the last, if you know they're doing an investigation, and there's 20 people on the street where something happened, they'll actually most of the time get 20 different perspectives. And a few things are common. Like somebody will talk about the car that was sitting over the corner and someone was in the car. Others will say, car? What car? There was no car. Why? Because they didn't notice the car because that happens. This one noticed the car because it was an actual car that's not normal, or it had a new interesting color, or it was a unique thing, or you know, something like that. Or they just noticed cars. Or, well, someone else doesn't notice it because unless it was the latest fashion car, they wouldn't know what it is. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. So that's because Krishna then pervades it. And according to natures, then we notice. So does that make sense? You know, so it's not that, it's like notes. Certain notes together, you know, as a chord, certain notes are discordant. But that same note is discordant with one other thing, is in chord with something else. You understand? So there's not a... It's not that it actually is a discordant note, it's only in relation to that other one. So everything's relative to each other. But what holds the whole thing together is that potency of the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? That's the unifying principle. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
What is the reason for negativity in people?
Negativity. A negativity is a lack of positivity. Right? It means that's what you're talking about. Is that you have the qualities that are there, so negative qualities are just a lack of the positive. Like if someone is sad, it's a lack of happiness. Not that sadness is its own thing separate from happiness. You understand? So all the you could say positive qualities or the superior qualities, those are Krishna's, that's his main potency. That represents him. Then the lack of that will have all the negatives. So that's it's still his potency, but they don't represent him directly. They represent the indirect, and from that you get back to the one, and then from there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just that there people have experiences that don't work out nicely; they become negative. So you have the optimist who always sees things in a nice light, with the ideal that things will work out, and the pessimist means that nothing will work out, doesn't matter what. It means it's working out for some people, but it's not working out for them. So they only see the negative side, so then they'll say, oh, it won't work out for anybody. Well, those who are ideal, then they'll look at it, even if they say negative, they say, no, but if you do things right, then you can have a positive. So that's karma and jnana. These two are always there. Somebody has one or the other, or some combination. The principle is that these are the two things that work. So it's just the way it works. So the main point to figure out is that why be in the material world where everything's based on, you know, is that mundane concept. So therefore, why don't we become God conscious? Then by being God conscious, then we can go back to Godhead and then no problem. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Can you elaborate more on origin of fear and how it manifests on different levels? That we can even sometimes we can see devotees who have a fear. Is it like healthy, or what is it?
Is it a healthy fear? yeah, it means if you're inside your house and the door's locked and the house is secure, and outside there's a very large tiger walking around and it's already eaten your dog, then having fear of that and not going outside, that I would say is healthy. Right? And if you go, wow, a tiger, and go outside, then you know, that's not healthy. Fear comes from not actually understanding. I mean, the original is the relationship with the Supreme. Because then we don't know the relationship with the Supreme, so we're just a soul on its own. And then that soul is within the material body. The material body is temporary. Our identity is with that material body. Any change to that material body or the situation of that material body, then we're worried about that, because the soul being eternal, if there's some situation it likes eternal situations. If you're happy, you want to be happy eternally. No one wants to be happy non-eternally, right? So, therefore then, any change or the prospect of change, that's what causes fear. Right? Because we think, okay, if something happens, then what will be my situation? So they're fearful of that, or dying. Then what will happen to me, the soul? They don't know, because it's unknown. But for the devotees, then they know the nature of the soul, know where the soul goes. So then they don't have fear. Because if you're connected with the Supreme, you're eternal, the Lord's eternal, your relationship's eternal. What's the fear? Does that make sense? So, depending upon what one's attachments are, identities are, that's where fear will be found. So different individuals will have different fear.
Yeah? Is it fear also on the subtle platforms, like a metaphysical platform, or is it only on the gross?
Means how fear works. That's there in the metaphysical thought, because we see is that that's one of the first things that Brahmad deals with before he starts the creation. Is you actually have to create fear, otherwise what's the point of the whole creation? Does that make sense? So that's there. So basically it goes back to the origin is fear of not being connected to Krishna. But we're having fears because we're worried about being connected to Krishna. Because if I'm the controller and enjoyer, how will I be the controller and enjoyer if I surrender to Krishna? And then all the things that I want to control and enjoy, if they're taken away or they change, then how will I be the controller and enjoyer? But once you accept, no, I'm the soul, I'm servant of Krishna. And with that devotional serve Krishna, then fear goes away. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Is it appropriate at any time for the feminine nature to cultivate detachment in relationships?
Cultivating detachment means you can be detached to the results. That works really well. You know what I'm saying? That it's not for you, that it's for someone else. Like the mother is arranging things for the child, it's not for themselves. So that works very nice. It's just that you can't be detached from something without putting it in something else. It means it's like they're going to try to arrange food for themselves, or they can arrange for their child. Like that. But you can't just not arrange food. Right? So therefore, then one's becoming detached from material results for one's own enjoyment, and becomes attached to that, to Krishna, and that therefore all the endeavors, the results are for him. So in other words, one just switches from the idea of material concept of relationship to the spiritual, to the devotional. Does that make sense? So it's one's using the intelligence to just switch from one to the other, but not using intelligence to see the material, give up the material, then try to then focus on the spiritual. That's how men will do it. Women will just do look at the material, look at the spiritual, see the difference, then see the advantages of the spiritual over the material, give up the material, and connect it to there. So it's just directly over. So you're going from one taste to the other. So then that's there. So because ultimately we have to give up attachment to the material world to go to the spiritual world. But it doesn't mean that there's not something to be attached to. So in other words, we're trying to be attached to Krishna. That's positive. Being attached to the material world, that's the negative. So we give that up for the positive.
Could you kind of explain what's the principle to offer the results of such activities like I help my mother in the garden, or I participate in some to solve some problem, some conflict between people. So there is a certain result, but how to offer that result?
How to offer that result to Krishna?
Yeah.
The point is okay, you have mother in the garden. Okay, now. Why is mother in the garden and not like you're helping your, how you say, you know, 80-year-old mother, you know, how you say, fixing the camshaft on her, you know, 67 Shelby Mustang, right? You know, like that. She's decided to bore it, stroke it, and, you know, it's just it's not giving the performance she wants. So, you know, these punk kids think they're so great, she was shown as boss, right? So, therefore, mothers and gardens go together. Why is that? That's the way Krishna makes it. So it's Krishna's potency, that's what she wants to do. Sons, therefore, then do things with their mothers. Right? And so why is that? That's also Krishna's potency. So then how to, what is the nature of mother, what's the nature of son, what's the relationship you're acting with in that, but you're doing that because that's a duty that you can use to please Krishna. Right? You have to do something to express that devotion to Krishna. And if one's in a family situation, then families, strangely enough, always include mothers. It seems to be kind of the whole situation starts there. No mother, then you don't quite have the same position in the world.
I understand that. But that aspect, which is my offering to Krishna, my what aspect should I...
Oh, what is being offered?
Yeah.
That you are performing these duties with the enemies. You're within the Grihastha Ashram, so you're performing the duties within that, because who's defined the duties of a Grihastha?
Okay.
Krishna. Yeah. So you're performing those duties to please Krishna. It may not be
by appreciating that he has established.
He has established, but yes, the appreciating he has established, but just doing it because that's what Krishna wants the Grihasthas to do. But you have to be able to see Krishna in it. It's not that, oh, he wants us to do it, and then we just do it and don't see him. Point is you have to use some medium to express the devotion. So in other words, it's an environment in which all these things work. So therefore, Grihastha is one of the environments. Otherwise, then if we want to say, okay, renunciation is valued in this world and it's considered a developed position or a higher level of consciousness. How do we appreciate that? Because if everyone's renounced, like on top of Loka, do they worry about a renunciation? They're all renounced. It's just like, let's say we have a party in which everybody is a multimillionaire. So they can just move around and talk to each other as just people. Right? But outside that circle, they're the millionaires. Does that make sense? Means, why is it at the party where the millionaires are that only millionaires are there? Because then they can be relaxed and just be themselves. You understand? So in other words, the difference is what creates, right? Let's say, okay, how do I establish that this restaurant is good? You know, because why is this the best restaurant? Because there's others that aren't the best. You understand? Because there's bad restaurants, therefore then good is appreciated. But if good is always, if that's just the standard, then you don't notice good. It's just an ordinary thing. It's just the existence. It's not a goal. Does that make sense? Okay. So, therefore, in the society, then you have brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, nyas. So then you can appreciate there's a development there. Does that make sense? So, one can engage the one's nature in the Lord's service at whatever position one is, and there is a progress. So, in other words, that you're engaging in the environment or realm of attachment, but you're doing it with knowledge of Krishna and detachment, that you're doing this because doing this pleases Krishna. That's what brings you to the higher platforms.
How do I understand which aspect pleases Krishna in that particular situation?
That it's something you're supposed to do, and so therefore you're doing, then why are you doing what you're supposed to do? Because it would be pleasing to Krishna. In other words, your mom wants you to help in the garden because she's got to do something that's more physical than she can do. If she's pruning the roses, better you're not there. But if she's, you know, going to double dig the rose bed and put in the fertilizer and move everything, that's where you come in, right? So therefore, then the sons do that for the mother, then that's defined by the Lord. Therefore you're taking part in that because that pleases Krishna. Right? And in the process, as we said before, your mom will be pleased. But if you go there just to please your mom, then it's not necessarily Krishna's pleased. It's subtle. It's not. You know, it doesn't quite have the same taste as sitting down and chanting your rounds. But the point is then it purifies those desires and needs because you see a connection to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because the idea is how to connect anything to Krishna. That's what you're trying to do. And then by doing that, you get purified, and then you start to see more and more of what's important and what's. And how we do things connected to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So we'll end here, otherwise it's good. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai.